I'm talking with Paul Monachino. He's here in the studio, and he is somebody who has had an important presence on the music scene locally, both as his role as the organist and director of liturgical music at Rosary Cathedral, as well as others. And he's been on this station before for our podcast series, Toledo Symphony Lab. So it's been a while, Paul. Welcome to you.
Well, good to be back.
Yeah. So the big news is, of course, that you're retiring at the end of May 2026. And so I'm right on your heels, by the way. After so many years at Rosary Cathedral, what does the moment feel like to you?
Well, I think it's a matter of, I think, you know, you kind of feel when the time is right, and you look at what's been accomplished and what you've done, and what maybe could be done in the future under new leadership. And so it's while it is a little bit sad, but generally I think I feel very good about what we have accomplished over the last 25 years. And hope that much of it continues.
Yeah. Now, when you look back on your career, what was it that first drew you to the organ?
Oh, wow. Well, we have to go way back for that.
Yeah.
I always joke that I started taking organ lessons because my piano teacher died. But in a way, that's true. I mean, I was taking from a lovely lady in Mansfield, Ohio. And unfortunately, at that point, she had gone into a nursing home and she passed away. And at that same time, the new organist at my home parish in Mansfield had just started and was offering organ lessons. And I begged my mom, because I'd always been fascinated by the organ in the church. I sang in the children's choir. And when we were up, you know, near the organ, I was always just fascinated by it. So I kind of begged. And she said, well, okay, you can try it for a while, but you need to go back to playing piano. Well, that never happened.
Yeah. And did your organ experience playing the organ translate into liturgical music?
Yes, I, of course, being involved in, you know, the children's choir and being involved in church, I certainly thought that that would be a viable kind of path for me. And I thought, well, if I want to play the organ a lot, certainly that's a way to do it, because you do end up doing that a lot when you work for the church. So it started as that, but then, of course, there are other skills that one has to develop, you know, to direct choirs and, you know, work with instrumentalists and all that. So
yeah,
that all comes as you mature and as you get more training. And, you know, I went to Heidelberg University now, college, when I was there in Tiffin. And so all those skills were built up over that time.
Yeah, over these past long, long years, has your approach to liturgical music and sharing it with people changed at all?
I think it probably has. Certainly when you're younger, you just kind of are hoping you can get the job done, you know? You have a little bit more angst about making sure that things go well and all that. Several of my first jobs were in pretty big parishes. So there were things really, really going on all the time. I mean, funerals and weddings and this and that, and working with school kids and the whole nine yards. So sometimes that tends to be more of a just kind of get the next thing done type of thing. So later, when you're have a little more experience and you're a little more confident, it translates maybe into a little more thoughtful music making and a little more a deeper understanding of things and a deeper way of sharing that.
Yeah.
So it kind of goes with the growth one would have musically over your career.
No. Talk about the instrument itself at Rosary Cathedral, the organ there.
Well, we are very, very fortunate to have that fine instrument in a fine building. It was installed in 1931. It was the first thing actually to be put into the cathedral. When you see all that decor and the stained glass windows and the carvings and everything, all that was not there. So it was one of the first things to go into the cathedral itself. And we are just thrilled that now it has had a thorough restoration, and it will serve well into the future, and it has been certainly hailed by many organists, concert organists, and as being one a really fine instrument. So
yeah. What's one thing that we may not know about playing the organ that we should know?
Well, it's interesting. There are two things that people always are very, that comment. First of all, I said, how do you get your hands and your feet to work together? Well, practice, and it eventually comes, and you keep practicing that throughout. So that's just kind of one of those things. It's a matter of any instrument. How do you play a violin and move your arm and, play the pitches with the other hand? So it's just one of those things. And the other that people are always amazed, they said, oh my gosh, this looks like an airplane cockpit, Yeah. And so they're kind of overwhelmed by the stops and the buttons and all that. But again, once you know what they do, you're very comfortable in doing that as well, because you're kind of orchestrating as you go through. You're deciding, do we need a reed sound or a flute sound or a string sound, that type of thing, or how to combine them. So, but it's just something that you just grow with, and
you make more choices. I mean, right. it's like the piano, only to the nth degree.
Right. Yeah. It is very much like just an organ or a piano keyboard that's connected somewhat to an orchestra.
Yeah. What role do you think music plays in shaping a congregation's spiritual experience?
I think I know it's very important. Music really gets right to people's hearts, and it's something that goes with them. I know, I just talked to somebody the other day, and they said, the music last Sunday, and I kept hearing that melody again, so when people carry that with them out of the church doors, that's an important part of what music can do as far as carrying the message from Sunday morning through the week. And I think the other important element for musicians is in the choice of music, because you really are presenting a certain theology. So you really have to be very careful about the texts that are accompanying those melodies, and making sure that they are things that are good and solid and will carry people through.
You've been part of countless services at Rosary and beyond, and I wonder if your emotions have played a part, if you got caught up in the spiritual happenings so that it affected your music making?
That does happen occasionally. One thing, though, that I think that might be a little misconception is, when you're on, you are just thinking all the time of what's coming next and, So it is very difficult for a church musician, a choir director, whatever, to always kind of be caught up in the moment. You might miss something if you do,
And land that aircraft carrier.
Right, yeah. So it does happen occasionally when certain components come together, and you kind of are in a spirit of that, and you say, wow, this is really impactful and beautiful, and this is really successful. But there's a lot of the other that goes on as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you found the Cathedral Concert Series, or was that already there?
Yes.
Yeah.
We did, yeah. When Monsignor Singler was the rector of the cathedral, this would have been back in the late 2000s, 8, 9, that we had been talking about this would be a great thing to do. And we had done a few concerts, just individual concert type things. And we came up with that vision that let's establish something that would be kind of a regular series of events, because that really was recommended us. They said, you know, people will come if they know that there are going to be, you know, a series of events and they can kind of count on that. So we started working at that, and it was 2014 or exactly when the first season was, but it's been well over 20 years. And that's been very successful. We were able to start that with a gift from a family whose brother had passed, and they wanted to give a donation, and the rector, Monsignor, had suggested, why don't you start an endowment? So we have an endowment for the concert series, which helps every year with a part of the budget. And then we've been a recipient of Ohio Arts Council grants.
Yeah.
And then we have a great group of donors every year who you know, come in and provide another part of that budget. So it's been very successful. And we've had some wonderful concerts over the years.
Yeah.
So, you know, local musicians, international musicians, so it's been a whole range. Yeah.
Has anything stood out to you as a concert that you really enjoyed, sacred or secular?
Wow. I think that there are several, and this might have been before the official start of it, but Apollo's Fire was here in 2010, and they did the Monteverdi Vespers, which was an outstanding concert. And I think that was a lot of the impetus for wanting to continue to do that. We also worked with the Association of Two Toledos, the local group, and we were able to bring Joaquin Achucaro to do a solo concert here, which, you know, other than their, you know, working with them and their connections and all that, we were able to have him, and to have, you know, somebody like that really was wonderful. And then, of course, just last Friday, we had this wonderful symphony concert with Todd Wilson, what kind of the end of our
an organist.
Organ and orchestra, and it was just wonderful. And we've had that before. We've had a concert with the symphony before with organ and orchestra. So those are always very popular and very well received. So,
yeah. Now, let's talk about retirement again. As you step away from this role, what are you going to miss the most?
It's very interesting. I've been thinking about that a little bit, and what, you know, you like I said, you know, you build these things and you work all these things, and they're all there and they're things. But I think that what I'm hoping and what I think will happen is the relationships over the years that have been made through all of this music making, and with the choirs and with the people who have come and done concerts and all that type of thing, that the relationships will carry on and will be part of the future as well. So that won't end. The work will.
But, do you have plans to keep playing the organ anywhere?
I will be doing that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great. So what advice do you have for young organists who are just starting out today?
Well, I would certainly encourage anybody who is at all interested to think about that, to think about making a career of it. It certainly is a great need in the church, most especially, and certainly also in the concert hall. It is a definite career path. I think the organ being such a niche instrument, it's difficult to, like a violinist or a pianist, to make a career just out of maybe concertizing or this or that. But certainly there are a huge number of opportunities for, you know, for performing and doing music, at a high level throughout. So, I would definitely encourage especially young pianists to maybe think about it, and it could be a very rewarding career. And one thing is that I think the other thing that is very interesting about, particularly about church music, is it's such a wide variety of skills you need, and you also have a wide variety of opportunities to make music. So, you know, it's not just sitting and playing, but, working with other people, leading other people, assisting other musicians, volunteers, and all that to grow in their musical abilities. And so, you know, there's some rewards in that as well.
How would you like to be remembered upon your retirement?
Oh, my, that's a loaded question.
Yeah. Well, I assume it's good.
Yeah. Well, I certainly hope that, that what I've done over the years has been appreciated, and that that we've brought, I've helped to bring, some beauty, some community, to everything we've done, and like I said, whether things stand or fall, I think all those relationships that have been built up over the years are very important. So I would certainly hope that those would continue.
Paul Monachino is the director of liturgical music and the organist for Rosary Cathedral, at least for this month. He's retiring at the end of May 2026. Paul, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.